email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, unless you've been unfortunate enough to have a child in hospital, you probably don't know about play therapy in our hospitals, but it's a thing that happens and it's a thing that's hugely important because children want to be children, and even though they're sick, they want to play. So we've three people in front of me now who are going to talk to us about play therapy. We've Audrey O'Toole, who's a play volunteer. Good afternoon, Audrey.
Good afternoon.
We've Elizabeth Moran, who's a volunteer manager, and she makes sure that there are as many play volunteers and play therapists around the country in the hospitals. Good to see you, Elizabeth. Yeah. And we've Lisa Rafferty, who's little daughter Pippa has used the services of play therapists in that's Crumlin.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You're all very welcome.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You very
yeah.
much.
So you can relax now. It's all that's the difficult bit over with. Yeah. So Audrey, just explain about play therapy to us and particularly to our listeners.
Yeah, sure. Well, we deliver a group of play volunteers, and we go into hospitals where there is a paediatric unit, and we bring play. So whatever the children want to do, whether that's arts and crafts, whether they want to read stories, play games, have a chat, just sing, maybe make a tent out of their bed, whatever it is, we do it.
How long have you been doing it?
Since 2005.
That's nearly 20 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
And why did you decide to do it?
I had a little window of time. I loved spending time with children. I'd seen this little ad in the Irish Times one Saturday and thought, that looks interesting. And it's one of the nicest things in the world to do. So I just love it. I get as much fun out of being with the children as I hope they get.
Yeah.
And it's just wonderful.
How often do you do it?
Every week on a Thursday evening, 2 hours from 7 until 9 o'clock.
Right. Whereabouts?
In Crumlin.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I go to all the wards in Crumlin, whatever wards need somebody to come and keep a little one company and maybe give mom and dad a break. So we go to some of the baby wards as well. Maybe a parent might need to go for a coffee or have a shower or just make a few phone calls. And we'll go in, sit with the little ones.
So it could be from holding a little baby, newborn, in your arms, to having a chat with a teenager.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
So it's across all of the ages.
Yeah. And Elizabeth, how many play volunteers are there in the country?
We've coming up to about 350 volunteers across the country. We're in 14 hospitals, soon to be 15 hospitals.
Right.
All across the main national hospitals here in Dublin, and then regionally as well from Sligo straight down to Cork.
So Audrey, you're not a qualified play therapist.
No, I'm a play volunteer. Yeah.
So will you explain the difference then to us, Elizabeth?
Absolutely. So our play volunteers are just members of the community. They could be your brother, your neighbour, you know, a friend and family member. And it's really about going in and bringing that normality, that, you know, just somebody there to give you a hand, to sit with you, to bring some joy back into the experience. And then the play specialists are trained and qualified and there to prepare children for procedures, to talk to them afterwards, to help help them along their medical journey. So it's more specialised play. Now they do a lot of the normal stuff as well, and they're run off their feet trying to meet every child and support every family that they can manage to get to. But the play specialists employed by the hospitals would be
And they would have specific strategies around distraction, I suppose.
Absolutely.
From pain, you know.
Yeah, distraction and communication and all sorts of skills. Yeah.
I remember being in with my daughter once and they just got a rubber glove and blew it up.
Yeah, the simplest of things. Yeah.
Ridiculous. So,
absolutely.
So you've seen it firsthand and benefited from it, Lisa.
Tell us
a bit about Pippa.
Yeah, so Pippa, she'll be five now, coming up to five at the end of the month. And Pippa, I had a postnatal diagnosis of Pippa. She was born with Down syndrome. And Crumlin would be basically our second home, because Pippa had a lot of medical issues that would come sometimes hand in hand with Down syndrome. And that's where I got to meet some of the volunteers. It only refreshed my mind, as you had said, Audrey, about coming up to, I remember Pippa was so small, she was in the baby units, and they'd come up to see, did we want a break? You know, they could stay with Pippa while, you know, like that, if I wanted to go and get something to eat or ring somebody. And, you know, it was just so nice. That's Pippa there. Thank God her medical issues are easing. So our time in Crumlin is kind of getting less and less. But while we were there, I found, you know, it was great. And the volunteers came up with the packs, little colouring packs and stuff. So it was great to kind of keep, you know, Pippa's mind off the kind of daunting experience of a hospital, and my mind too, I suppose.
And it's somebody who isn't a medical professional.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because it can be a bit scary, you know, doctors and, you know, well, they scare me, so I can imagine with children. And then I suppose...
They don't mean to be.
No, they're there to help. Yes. And then they have the playrooms. Now, when Pippa was born and when she was kind of really being hospitalised at the very start, it was really coming into effect with COVID, and the outdoor play area was open, but the indoor was just about closing.
Right.
So we got down to the indoor, but then, as I said, it was kind of clamping down with COVID. But it was just so nice because at the start, her brothers could come in and play with her. And
oh, so family can go in as well as the patient.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah. So it was nice. It was home from home.
She has three brothers.
She's three brothers.
So what ages are they?
One is coming up to 14, 9, and then 2.5.
Right.
Yeah, so busy.
Yeah, and you're saying, Pippa, a lot of her medical issues are behind her.
Well, yeah, we're coming to that now. Yeah, right. They're really easing, thank God. It has been a long, old journey with Pippa. So we've been in Crumlin a lot and we've got to experience, you know, the volunteers coming in, and it has been great. It is. It's great.
So when you say postnatal diagnosis, because some people have it...
They will find out, beforehand.
So you had no idea?
I had no idea. No. And I was getting scanned quite regularly as well. And this can happen, you know, it can happen. Yeah. And I had an emergency C-section on Pippa, and she was born 8 weeks premature. So I had a lot to deal with apart from, like, you know, even before I've heard that, you know, she may have Down syndrome. And the doctor just came up then. It was about an hour later. She was in the NICU, obviously. She was so small. And he came up and just said, you know, it's 50-50 chance that she may have Down syndrome, and could they test? So, of course, I agreed, but still kind of thought none the wiser. You know, she was just my baby and we were just, you know.
Delighted.
You know,
it's a joyful
we were on.
Time.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. So, I think the test took about 2 weeks because it landed on a bank holiday. And it took that little bit longer for it to come back. And it came back that she did have Down syndrome. So, or to say our world was turned upside down, you know, it really, really was. But now I would love to take all that back. You know, it's kind of living. Well, it's just living with Down syndrome. You know, I suppose anyone that doesn't have anyone with Down syndrome, or, you know, they do have the old fashioned views. And I think that's why I have a page on Instagram to advocate for Down syndrome, because there is so many old fashioned views out there. So I would love for that to change, you know.
And did you have those when
Absolutely.
You got the diagnosis? Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I thought people, elderly people, you know, that got pregnant and had kids, had children with Down syndrome or any disability and stuff, which is wrong. It's so wrong, you know. So
that's why you say you'd like to be able to change.
Absolutely.
You.
Yes.
When you got the diagnosis.
Yes. Yeah.
But you're lucky. You don't know, do you?
No. And that's it.
It's a shock, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. We were thrown into a lot. And then, as I said, with her medical issues and stuff. Yeah. So. But it's she's shown us so much in her little life that we've ever known in our lives, you know. Yeah, so it's great. Yeah.
I remember it must be over 30 years ago now. We used to go into Harker Street Hospital and deliver Easter eggs every year for some reason. And I was introduced to this lady. I think her name is Marie, and she was a play therapist. And I didn't know that such a thing existed, but she was the most delightful woman. And you could see how the faces of the young children lit up when Marie was in the room.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's what you were getting, is it, Audrey?
I will often describe it to somebody. It's like a little rosebud that you see is so tight. And then as the play happens and their world opens up, the little rose opens. Mm. And the joy that they just take back a little bit of childhood again and in control. Their world is turned upside down with the unfamiliarity of hospital. But the one thing that's familiar is play. Mm-hmm. And they get to choose. So we'd always ask them, what would they like to do? And perhaps that's the first time in the whole day they got to make choices.
Yeah.
And so you're giving a little bit of that back to them. And yes, it's just to see to hear a little laugh or to see a smile.
Yeah.
It's just the nicest thing
in the
world.
It's just a bit of normalisation.
When you're very sick, you still want to play as a child. Mm-hmm. You know?
What have you learnt over the nearly 20 years, Audrey? Oh. I'm sure your approach has changed over the 20 years, has it, or not?
Well, maybe it has. I suppose there are no two evenings are the same. Mm-hmm. You're very much in the moment. And whatever the, you know, you go into a room and it might be that you turn a bed into a tent because, and you take the sheets from mom's bed or you sing a little song. We had a couple of years back, we had a gorgeous little boy and we brought in inflatable guitars and we made a band. And he, I remember he just laughed and laughed and he sang along with us and we made up the words of a song. And he just said, you know what, I'd love this evening to go on forever. And and that in itself was just so, so lovely. And sure, that's it. That's the nicest thing in the world.
What do you do as your day job?
I work in finance, so totally different. So do you know what? The nicest thing is on a Thursday evening, I get to put the world and leave it at the front door of the hospital and just go in and be there. And it's just so nice as well, you know. So we benefit so much as volunteers as well, as the children and the parents.
And it is that thing because I was at, it's 30 years now since Barrettstown opened down in Ballymore Eustace. And that was Paul Newman's philosophy. It was allow children to be children.
And
his expression was allow them to raise a bit of hell. Because when you're very sick as a child, you're cosseted and you you can't do this and you can't do that. So play is hugely important. So unfortunately, you were talking about COVID there and Crumlin, and Crumlin has lost some of its play facilities since COVID.
It has, they've lost a good number of their playrooms, have been converted into patient rooms to make more space for more single use, or not single use, but single occupancy rooms, I suppose, that were greatly needed. But the playrooms, you know, are a huge loss. And I know the volunteers feel it, the families feel it, the children feel it. And I think the staff feel the loss of them as well, that they were kind of the heart and the bright space in the wards. And there are a few of them still remaining, but the vast majority of them are gone.
You can understand in a hospital how medical necessities would take precedent over play necessities. But it's important that play is factored in, isn't it?
Yeah, and I would say that they're not mutually exclusive.
No.
That play brings huge value and huge benefit into a child's medical journey and into their healing and well-being. Overall, their mental health, their sense of well-being. Do you know, we say to people that in nursing homes, get up and get dressed and go and get the paper or go for a walk and you'll feel yourself again. And it's the same for kids, that when you give them that chance to be at play, to be themselves, to make choices, to ask questions, that their communication improves. They might, you know, they're more relaxed. They might ask a nurse a question that maybe they were too scared to ask for before. There's a knock-on effect.
Yes.
And when they're, we say that play requires a child to be, or to anybody, an adult as well, to be in an active, alert and non-stressed frame of mind. And that promotes, obviously, creativity and learning. It's why we use play in schools, but it promotes healing, right? Mm-hmm. Your body is more able to heal when it's
Now, I was unaware of this policy document from 2004. Micheál Martin was Minister for Health at the time, and it was called Ready, Steady, Play. And in that document, it laid out plans and aspirations for play within hospitals.
Yeah,
that's 20 years ago.
20 years ago, and we're still far behind.
Right.
Yeah, so, and now it's a play document.
For everything. But there was a page on hospitals. So where are we at with that then, 20 years on?
I'd say we've gone nearly backwards.
Right.
So it called for kind of a 1 to 10 ratio of play specialists to children in a ward. We're far below that. There are 9 hospitals regionally across the country that have no play specialist at all, many that have no play room at all. And then even where we're lucky enough to have a huge number of play specialists here in Dublin, they're still overstretched and not able to meet every child or help with every procedure.
So. And in that document as well, there was plans for a third level course in play therapy, and that hasn't materialised.
No, it hasn't materialised. So for a while, there was a play specialist here, course here back in the 90s. They were able to take it in the north for a little while, but now there's no play specialist course on the island. So many of the play specialists start their work in Crumlin, Temple Street, Tala, or regionally, and then have to go to the UK for training. So they're trying to work and trying to travel. And, you know, one day.
Who's advocating for this, apart from yourself?
because
you know, because doctors are too busy doing what doctors do. And then parents are too busy being parents to sick children. So who's advocating for play in hospitals?
It's really us and the play specialists. And the play specialists, as you say, like the doctors, they're too overstretched to advocate for themselves either. So Yeah, that's why we're here today.
What about the new hospital?
The new hospital. We have high hopes for the new hospital. Okay. We do.
Have you got information about the playrooms in the new hospital?
Yeah, so there's to be, I believe now I could, you know, sure, until we step foot in the building, yes. You don't know what you're going to get. But I believe there's to be three lovely full-sized playrooms on kind of the therapies ward, you know, where the school will be, and there'll be other kind of group facilities. But there should be play spaces throughout the hospital. So there's in the inpatient areas, there should be play spaces. In the outpatient areas, there should be play spaces, possibly even ED or at least the waiting room areas. So we've got our fingers crossed, and it will be a great facility. There's to be lots of improvements for families, definitely.
And you were saying, Lisa, like, I think 5 weeks was Pippa's longest stretch.
Yeah.
So you would have had childcare issues, so you would have been bringing the lads with you, would you?
Yeah, when I could.
Yes, yeah.
with
so they needed, they need some place.
Absolutely, To play. And it's I suppose, children when they're in hospital as well, you know, they're missing out on their social skills, their play skills when they're ill and they're in hospital. So I suppose me thinking about Pippa as well, any kids with even additional needs, you know, they're obviously going to be more delayed with milestones and stuff. So it's hugely important to have all these play skills and, you know, it is. It's needed. It's well needed.
And where is Pippa now? I mean, not, you know, what stage is she at? Is she in preschool or?
She's in preschool. So she's doing a third year in preschool. She got an overage exemption because Pippa is working with physio. She's still not walking fully unaided yet.
Right.
So she is doing the third year in preschool. So she'll be going off to primary now next year.
How are the lads with her?
Brilliant. Yeah, very good. I couldn't ask for any more. Yeah, they're very, very good. But yeah, just wait until she's on her feet because they will have to run. They're in trouble.
And she has this ripple effect, I'd imagine, in the house.
She does, even in the town. Right. You know, she's just like, she's a joy to be around. You know, she catches everyone's eye. Everyone has time for Pippa and vice versa. And, you know, she's, she just catches everybody's eye and waves at everybody. So she's great.
Yeah,
she's really good.
So you're not for giving up anytime soon,
oh,
Audrey?
Absolutely
no.
Absolutely
not.
No.
No. Well, listen, thanks so much for coming in, the three.
Thank you.
And
so
what can people
us.
Do to help make sure that there are play therapists and specialists in hospitals?
I would say the biggest thing, our biggest worry, other than obviously the policy and resourcing it and all of the rest, but for families, you know, as you said at the beginning, until you're in that situation, you don't necessarily know what you don't know. But now, if you're listening, you know. So if you're in hospital, ask for a play specialist, ask for some play, and keep demanding, because it really does make a big difference for children, for their experiences, for families, for reducing anxiety, for reconnecting as a family, and bringing that sense of childhood back.
Just listening and felt, I had to message, I remember the kindness of the play therapist when my son Harry was in Crumlin. We had a long stay there, bypass surgery when Harry was 8 months old. 14 years ago now, one memory was when the play therapist came by his room and told me to go have a shower and coffee. After all this time, I can still remember how much it meant to me back then.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that says it all. Yeah. Thanks very much, Audrey.
You're very
thanks,
welcome.
Elizabeth. Thanks,
thanks
Lisa. Thanks for coming
thanks
in.
Thanks very much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.